Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my mother, my father, and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we embrace this day, and especially you who have created the day, we thank you for this word from Scripture. This word that can give light and life to our lives. And we embrace it. We take it as your word to us, light to our path, leading us into the land of the living. Be gracious to us, Lord, merciful. Lift us high upon the rock, higher than these rocks around us, so we can praise you with full hearts and obedient lives, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing? I've asked for many. Can't tell you how many I've asked for. I've asked for answers to exams I was ill prepared for. I've asked that my children would sleep through the night. I've asked that the girl in the third grade, the one with the freckles and the braids, would notice me and like me. I've asked that I have a church with all saints and no sinners. I've asked that it wouldn't rain on our family picnic. I've asked that I'd never once get stuck in the Los Angeles airport. One thing, I can't tell you how many things I've asked for. We're a distracted people. We have many things going on, telephones and faxes, appointments and tasks, and we flit. We flit here, there. It's hard to pin us down. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in that famous speech a little over 20 years ago at Harvard, that was a sermon, actually, to the American people, and that caused so many people to be angry with him, so much of the American intelligentsia. He said, "Superficiality and hastiness are the virus of the 20th century. We're sick with hastiness and superficiality." And so I want to keep company with just for just a few moments with the psalmist of Psalm 27 and see if I can discern with you what goes into this one thing. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing, three verbs, but one thing. Three verbs: that I may dwell, that I may behold, that I may inquire. But one thing. And three objects of the verbs: dwell in the house of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in the temple of the Lord. But one thing. One, two, three equals one. One thing. It's very unlikely that when the psalmist prays that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, he means to put a cot in the church sanctuary and stay there, having his meals brought to him or her. A life of sermons and hymns, it's not the one thing, is it? The house of the Lord is the habitation of the Lord. And Psalm 2 talks about the Lord sits in the heavens, and later on in the Psalms that the earth is his footstool. The house of the Lord is the creation of the Lord, the universe, everything. Live largely, not constricted. Live extravagantly, not squinting, not tied down to anxieties. Templum, the Latin word for temple. Templum is at the root of our word contemplate. A temple is an area marked off for sacred purposes, so that you can step into that place, that marked off place, and consider everything from the perspective of God. Everything in terms of God. A temple is a place where you now recognize that everything that you see, everything you experience, is God-dimensioned. So the temple that in which inquiry is made is a practice field for seeing everything as the dwelling place of God. And just a little trick of words, we get our word template from templum, a little temple. So you walk away from the temple, the templum, with your template, and you look through it and you see everything now shaped, bounded by God. And you behold the beauty of the Lord. That's the one thing. Not something restricting, excluding everything else, but one thing encompassing, gathering everything else. We don't acquire the one thing just by saying it, making a resolution, burning up our telephone books, unplugging the telephone, locking our door, and do the one thing. I've always loved the comment of a woman who said to me, "Pastor, I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to spend my life concentrating. From now on, I'm going to concentrate." And I said, "What on?" "Oh, on a lot of things." So how did the psalmist get to the one thing? Well, look at the psalm. It takes place in the context of a revelation, a large, huge revelation. Those first words, light, salvation, stronghold, and then just cascading through the psalm, rock, land of the living, tent. There's hardly a verse, a line, where some sense of the revelation is not there. This revelation that came from Genesis, from Exodus, from Moses, from Abraham, David. Here's a person who has experienced fully and largely the presence, the activity of God. And so the world, existence, is marked by memories, experiences. God, 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 light, salvation, stronghold, rock, land, tent. We don't get to the one thing by narrowing ourselves to a point, but by opening ourselves to God. This is not an ego thing whereby we learn some magical method of meditation by which we exclude everything. This is an opening of our lives to everything that God gives and reveals is, so that everything is gathered into it. Nothing excluded except sin. But there's another context that's involved here. There's the God context, but there's also the, well, maybe we could call it the sin context. This person has been through some things. We trace the psalm, we follow the psalm, the words, the sentences of the psalm, and we find we're following a path. And this psalmist has left a trail of trouble. And we see marks of the trouble. There are adversaries, there are foes, there is slander. Lies are being told. Violence is at the edge of things. Rejection. My father and my mother have forsaken me. This psalm has not come out of a mountain retreat. This isn't somebody who came to Glen Eyrie for the weekend to get away from his wife and kids to do the one thing. This doesn't come out of a quiet meditative place. This psalm is pockmarked with shrapnel. The evidence of violence, of lies, of slander, of trouble. So the one thing doesn't come from finding some way to secure life from adversity. It comes from something else. It comes from this risk-taking, faith-leaping life into God. We know it best in Jesus Christ. So there are no secrets here. There's a life represented here. Living in the largeness of God, living in the midst of opposition to God, but never swerving from the one thing. Determined to dwell in the place where God dwells, which is every place. To inquire the truth of God, finding out what this revelation means. What is the light, the salvation, the stronghold, the land of the living, the goodness? There's much to learn here, but it's all one thing. It all adds up to the beauty of the Lord. This amazing delighting, enveloping presence which makes us intimate with our Lord and Savior. It's a bit of dialogue later on in the psalm after this one thing that I want to set before you, get involved in with you. Thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Want to try that out with me? The Lord says, seek ye my face. My heart says, thy face, Lord, do I seek. The Lord says, seek ye my face. That's good. The Lord says, seek ye my face. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we love being awake to this world that you've given to us, awake to your Spirit that works within us. Through the hours of this day, we pray that we may be alert to everything that you are doing and saying. Your presence with us, your word that guides us, your love that draws us into the intimacy of eternity. We don't want to miss any of it. You've been so extravagant with your gifts. Pull us away from our preoccupations with things that don't matter much to us one way or the other. And draw us into the one thing needful, so that all of our energy, all of our love, may center in you, the Holy One, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.